Unto You, a Christmas Sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The angel can tell those shepherds and tell us, this child has been born unto you. This child has been born for you.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
There are so many Christians who are convinced with our reference and our way of approaching problems, and they are willing to participate with us in our work towards having better Egypt.
That's Omar Darad. He is the head of the Giza branch of the Freedom and Justice Party in Egypt. They're counting the votes as we speak. It's expected to take some time before the actual results of the elections in Egypt will be known for sure, but everybody's very optimistic about it. Now, he mentions there that Christians are going to have an opportunity there in Egypt to be full participants and contributors to the political process. I wonder if we should have the same optimism when it comes to the Coptic Christians in Egypt, especially given the way things have unfolded politically and religiously in the New Egypt, as they're calling it. We're going to talk about the elections in Egypt on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 30th. Dr. Serge Trifkovic joins us for the first few minutes, and after our conversation with him, we'll hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later in the first hour, Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us to talk about what thankfulness in the Scriptures actually means. In the second hour of the program, today the church is remembering one of the inner circle of the disciples, an apostle, Andrew. You might know him from his cross. It looks like an X. It is the symbol of his martyrdom. We'll talk about Andrew the Apostle. And then, later in the second hour, Dr. Paul Grimm joins us. We're going to talk about big changes. They seem small, but they're actually rather big in the, what shall we say, devotional and liturgical life of the Roman Catholic Church. Changes not away from the standard, but back toward the standard of the Latin Mass that are, well, they've been a long time coming, but they're finally being instituted among Roman Catholics as we speak. Dr. Paul Grimm will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Serge Trifkovic is foreign affairs editor for Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and he's author of the books The Sword of the Prophet and Defeating Jihad. Serge, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's so good to be with you again.
We heard from Omar Darad where he says Christians are numerous in Egypt and they're going to be full participants in the political process. Do you share his optimism?
Absolutely not. First of all, numerous is a relative term. They have been declining rather precipitously over the past decade. Whereas the Coptic ingredient in the Egyptian society had been absolutely crucial to the defining of the Arab nationalist movement between the two world wars. Whereas Coptic Christians have been the backbone of Egypt's economic prosperity, such as it was in the post-Nasserite era, they are now down from 18 to 15 to 12 to an estimated less than 10% of the society today. And it seems to be, ironically enough, the feature of Arab democratic revolutions that wherever U.S.-supported Arab Spring happens, one corollary is that the Christians disappear. That's what happened in Iraq in the aftermath of the U.S. invasion in 2003. That's what happened in the West Bank in the aftermath of so-called democratic elections that brought Abbas to power. And that's indeed what would happen in Syria if Bashar al-Assad were to be removed from power. In other words, democracy, quote-unquote, in the Arab world equates Islam. And it is an uncomfortable thought for the U.S. establishment to live with, but I greatly suspect that there are people around in Washington, D.C., who are fully cognizant of this and who are perfectly happy to play the game, because their primary agenda is to support the unsinkable aircraft carrier, the one and only existential ally of the United States in the region. And so they don't mind making Arabs look bloodthirsty and fanatical, because, hey, we try to give them democracy, we try to give them, you know, the benefits of a pluralist society, and look what they're doing. So in a funny way, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and its equivalents in Syria and Tunisia and the Zionist lobby inside the Beltway have a common agenda. They actually want to present the Arab street as both unmanageable and inherently anti-US-oriented.
But how does that, I mean, I understand, and I think I actually agree with you, that there is kind of this cynical approach to democracy in Islamic countries. At least that seems to be our policy. But how in any way does that work in favor of, as you said, the unsinkable aircraft carrier? How does that work in Israel's interests at all, even from their own perspective, to have the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and elsewhere, their equivalents, gain, well, what could be called legitimate political power through the democratic process?
Well, you're now bringing me into the area of speculation for which I have no empirical evidence, so it's a little bit tricky. But I would say that if I were a strategist inside Netanyahu's cabinet, I would say that we should follow the Leninist dictum of the worse the better, that the best way to get the United States permanently involved in the geopolitics of the region is to make these so-called democratic transformations as U.S. unfriendly as possible. And I'm pretty certain it will happen in Libya. It's already happening, in fact. And in Tunisia, you know, the Francophile Café Society is already beleaguered as the westernized Ataturk heirs are in Istanbul. And in Egypt, we are witnessing, you know, the change on a daily basis. So the only way that, shall we say, a cynical manipulator in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv can hope to get the U.S. permanently committed to the region in a way that would guarantee Israel's security is to make it look like these democratic transformations inevitably lead to Islamization and radicalization, which therefore means that the U.S. has been wrong all along in supporting it. But let us not forget that the neocons, the people who knew the score all along, people like Paul Wolfowitz and Douglas Feith, have been supportive of the Arab Spring, knowing full well what would happen. Because I think in their mind, this cynical scenario is playing itself to a T.
Well, I guess the next question would be, it may gain power. An organization like the Muslim Brotherhood may gain power through legal elections, but will the result on the ground for Egyptians, Christians or otherwise, be democracy?
Well, let's have no illusions. Democracy and Islam are incompatible. The only authority that is legitimate in the Islamic mindset is that of Allah and of his representatives on earth, and the notion of a secular democracy that is, you know, the separation of church and mosque, if you will, is haram, is inherently sinful. The only proper political order is the one that is based upon a theocratic and eminently Quranic Sharia order of things, and let's call a spade a spade. Islam and democracy, understood in the European sense of the ancient Greek model of city, state, of the polis, is simply incompatible. Islamic democracy is not even compatible in the sense of the 1950s or 60s German or Italian model of Christian democracy, because still in political center-right Christianity of that period, we had the concept of the state and the society as parallel but not necessarily intersecting entities. In Islam, it is impossible. The society, the state, the totality of both philosophical and theological teaching, which is inseparable from the legal and eminently nominalistic theory of man and theory of society. It is totalitarian, it is scary, and it is as uncomfortable for the elite class in the Western world to admit as ever. And you mentioned the two titles of my books. I greatly regret that 10 years after writing one and 5 years after writing the other, we are not any closer to the elite class of the Western world opening its eyes to the reality that in the Muslim world, more democracy means more Islam. More Islam means more radicalism, and that means fewer Christians.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break. I want to get your final thoughts on that as well as your prediction for how the elections will generally come out in Egypt. Dr. Sergio Trifkovic is our guest. He's foreign affairs editor for Chronicles Magazine, a magazine of American culture, and author of the books Sword of the Prophet and Defeating Jihad. A few more minutes with him, then the Issues Etc. comment line. How is it that many of the champions of the Great Commission actually deny what the Great Commission says? I've written part two of the Not-So-Great Commission for the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Ellie Caro writes about the uncertainty of personal moral improvement and the certainty of the external promises of God. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 30th of November. They're counting the votes in Egypt. We're talking about the elections in Egypt, Islam and democracy, with Dr. Sergio Trifkovic. Sergio, you said something before the break that was fascinating. You said The Western elites have yet to come to grips with the fact that more democracy in the Arab world means more Islam, more radicalism, and fewer Christians. What do you mean by that last part?
Well, it's not a statement devoid of empirical evidence. We've seen what happened in Turkey with so-called westernizing Kemalist elite. The number of Greeks and other Orthodox and monophysites like Armenians in Turkey has declined to below 5% by 1960. It is now below 1%. And during the Ottoman Empire, the eminently theocratic and not altogether very pleasant Muslim empire, it was in the region of 22 to 25%. What we witnessed, for instance, in Turkey over the past decade, since Recep Tayyip Erdogan came to power in February 2002, is that the applause from the Western world has been deafening. That he has effectively removed the army as the guardian of the Kemalist order. He has carried out a purge of the military ranks. He has taken 200 senior military officers to a trial on spurious charges that are highly reminiscent of the Moscow trials of 1937, the so-called Operation Sledgehammer. And yet, there isn't so much as a peep of protest in the West. Likewise, let us look at what happened in Lebanon since the beginning of the civil war in the 1970s. The fairly even ethno-religious balance between Christians and Muslims has now been totally reversed in favor of not only just Muslims, but fundamentalist Muslims, to the point where I think current estimates are maybe 20 to 22% of Lebanon being Christian, and what we are witnessing in the West Bank of the Palestinian Authority is even more melancholy. That in the city that is the birthplace of Jesus, which was majority Christian, Bethlehem, between the two world wars and during the British mandate until 1947, you now have a Christian minority of 5%. So the process of de-Christianization of the Middle East, the birthplace of Christianity, is one of the great tragedies of our time, and yet it is unreported in the Western press, and it is underreported in the commentary. Why? Because our elites are inherently Christophobic. They don't mind it happening because they would like to see de-Christianization of the Middle East proceed as rapidly as they would like to see de-Christianization of their home societies. I was in Paris, France, at a conference last week, and I can tell you that the French establishment is perfectly happy to see the banlieues, the suburbs of Paris, being effectively ruled by Sharia law for as long as it is devoid of any sense of Frenchness, for as long as it is what Marxists would call an objective ally in the process of erosion and diminution of traditional society, traditional culture, and traditional faith. And the same people are doing the same thing on both sides of the Atlantic. And this is where I have to say that what they are doing in Iraq, what they are doing in Lebanon, what they are doing in Egypt, and what they hope to do in Syria is nothing that they haven't done here at home. They're opposed and inherently inimical to any sense of faith based upon what has been for two millennia the source of inspiration, the source of hope, and the source of uniquely creative civilization for Europeans, Middle Easterners, and North Africans, and that is Christianity.
With only 30 seconds, what's your prediction for the outcome of the elections in Egypt?
Extremely grim. It will be the Muslim Brotherhood, and they will strike a deal with the army, and the bottom line will be more attacks against Coptic Christian communities and a mass exodus, reducing them to a remnant of a remnant, reliquia reliquiarum.
Dr. Serge Trifkovic is foreign affairs editor for Chronicles magazine, a magazine of American culture, and he's author of the books The Sword of the Prophet and Defeating Jihad. We'll post a link to his columns under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Serge, thank you again.
It was my pleasure.